All right, the chaos subsides a little bit so we can get going. Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in here. Just a reminder, there's a photo booth in the gym. It's awesome. If you've seen it, it's really cool. So, you know, get your phone and go take some pictures after the service. Today, we're wrapping up our missions campaign. Every year around this time, we raise money for missions. If you're new here, welcome to kind of what amounts to a little bit of a family meeting today. We are going to open up the Bible. We're going to hear from God, hopefully. But one thing that we're doing today is we're raising money. And we introduced this series. This is week four. We're wrapping up today. Week one, all of us pastors were on stage. We talked about why would we do this? Why would we raise money? What's the deal with the Great Commission and sharing the gospel and making disciples? What's the mission of our church? Well, it's making disciples of Jesus by the grace of God, and we want to do that, and there's a call in that. And Aaron actually shared the details, some of the people that we're sending, some of the projects that we're hoping that God has led us in, that we're hoping will happen if the money comes in. Week three talked about money, just our approach to money and tithing in general. Sometimes can be a little bit of an awkward conversation, but I think Aaron did a really good job with that last week. If you missed that, I would highly recommend getting online and going back and watching that. And then today we're going to wrap up week four. We're going to talk about how this is a whole church effort. So our missions campaign this year has been based kind of loosely around this, the structure found in this verse. And this is when Jesus gathered this little ragtag group of disciples on a hillside in the Middle East, men and women, and there weren't that many of them, and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." One of the things that we see there is this kind of a three-part expansion with local, regional, and then to the end of the earth, which is what we see play out in the first sort of section of the history of the early church in the book of Acts. So we have Jerusalem. It's kind of their local area. You're going to be witnesses there. You're going to go to Judea and Samaria. You're going to end up in the ends of the earth. And we talked about over the last couple of weeks that we have projects and things that we feel that God wants to advance with people sent out from here or even people used here. People staying here and there's a focus here. And then going to Judea, Samaria, we talked about a possible church plant to Severance. Had an interest meeting about that. And then to the ends of the earth, we have missionaries that are all across the globe, people that are going to be sent, people that are about to go, giving their lives for the sake of this thing called the Great Commission, which is advancing the kingdom of God through making disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus who've seen the good news and believe it, and it changes their lives. We want the whole world to see that. And so we presented our various projects and what we're raising money for, and the total goal of $50,000, which today we're actually going to sign pledges. We have pledge cards. You'll have pledge cards in front of you in your pew. Don't pull them out now. We'll look at them later. And we're gonna fill those out. I'm excited for that. I think the goal is actually $49,000 because I got an email last night from someone who's already going to donate $1,000. So we're part of the way there. But today isn't about finances. We're hoping to raise this $50,000. We're hoping that maybe even more than that, send people, to equip people, contribute to their needs as they go do the work of ministry. But today I want to lead us into something that's maybe a little bit different. In the past years, we've always done 3 weeks on a missions campaign. This week, we're adding a fourth week this year. And one of the reasons for that is because, you know, we're preparing literally to send people across the globe. But for those of us who are staying here, we need to take into account each one of our roles, not just financially, but our roles in making disciples of Jesus by the grace of God. Because when we talk about a missions campaign, we're not just talking about those few people that we're sending. This is an all-in thing. So I just want to start by praying, because we really need God in this if we're going to call ourselves to action today. So let me pray. Father, thank you for making us. Thank you for creating us in your image. God, you are an exquisite, amazing, glorious, marvelous God. And you've chosen to take that image of who you are and little bits and pieces of it and put that image into each one of us in specific ways that are unique. And you foresaw each one of our lives before the beginning of time and had a plan for even how the hairs on our heads would be arranged. And all that we are is an image of our Creator. And you've wired each one of us a certain way to do something here while we're alive. You've gathered us together in this clumsy, messed up, weak thing called the church. You said, this is my exhibit A to the world of what I can do. And God, sometimes I look at that and I go, man, that's a terrible plan. Because I've seen the hypocrisy and the sin and the problems that we have as Christians. So Holy Spirit, I'm just asking that right now you would come and you would prick us. You would fill us. You would take us over, inhabit us. I've been praying that all week, God, that for some of us that you'd be poking at us in the middle of the night and not letting us sleep because you have something for us. Something that we're not expressing, we're not imaging our Creator the way that we're meant to do as a body. And I ask that you would grant us conviction and courage and insight and motivation today to be the church in all of the things and the glorious thing that you've made it to be in the body, the family, with Jesus, you at the head. So speak through me. Help us today to understand these concepts, to be motivated, but really to be motivated rightly, to not take action without thinking about it. And Holy Spirit, enlighten us today, we ask. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to give a call to action today. So if you're new with us, like I said, it's going to be a little bit kind of like a family meeting. I'm hoping maybe to exhort us a little bit, maybe even rebuke us a little bit. I've needed that this week as I've wrestled with this content. If you're here and you're just examining Christianity for the first time, you might actually find this insightful. So we're going to talk about the why behind why we would actually act a certain way as believers of Jesus Christ. Why would we come together as a body? Why would we take the time out of our week, take money out of our resources, and give that generously? Why would we do that? So back in the day, there was this acronym that floated around. FAT. Jesus wants fat people. I don't think in acronyms. I don't like acronyms. I think they get confusing, and this one in particular I'm not a huge fan of. But the concept is gold. And that is that in order to be the church, the people in the church need to be faithful, they need to be available, and they need to be teachable. And I just want to say to some of you, church, this month is actually my 19th anniversary of full-time vocational ministry with some of you church, and I've seen faithful people over the years. Faithful people in this church, loving God, quality, faithful people, teachable people who love the Word of God, and many who are available. But I've got to say, I've seen a trend, and this is where a rebuke comes in. And maybe some of us aren't as available as we should be to do the work of ministry. And so I want to ask today this question: why would I look at my life and consider changing how I'm living? Maybe consider giving, whether it's financially or some of my time or my energy or my emotional energy, whatever that is, giving up something. Why would I do that? I want to call us to action on that, but in order to take action on something, we have to be rightly motivated, and I'm going to make an argument that there's three whys in today's passage we're going to go through, and a few other passages in the Bible. The first one, they're basically so that this would happen, so that would happen, so that there is a positive benefit in a certain direction. So the first one is resilience. Why would I give of my time and my energy to think about making disciples, spend my time doing stuff in the church, serving, whether it's financially or some other way? Well, because it produces resilience. I'm going to show that in the text. Because then it blesses others, so that I can be a blessing to others, so that the church can bless others. And then the last one is, so the world will believe. So if you think back to this past year, obviously we have had a really rough season. And as pastors going into March of last year in 2020, we didn't really know what to expect. We budgeted conservatively for the year because we weren't sure, is there going to be an economic collapse of some sort? We've got to shut down the building. We've done things we've never done before. It's been really, really hard. And for everyone else, this has been really, really challenging. And I've even seen some reports from therapists that really the whole world is dealing with maybe even a low-grade sort of PTSD right now, or a state of grief, chronic stress. We are struggling and suffering uncertainty. We're experiencing division, even division within families and marriages and with parents and kids over things like political beliefs or masks or vaccines now. That debate is heating up, and it causes us sort of a societal anxiety. And our first why here of resilience, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to fight that? If there was a way that we could live as people and thrive as humans despite all of the chaos around us, and that we could exist when that chaos hits us, it just kind of rolls off like water off a duck's back. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I think there actually is a way to do that, and it's found in Ephesians 4. Here's a so that. Why? Why would I do this? Why would I do this thing called the church? And here's one reason. And Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. That's our first why. There's a way for us to be resilient and to weather the storms that come our way. The craftiness and deceit. I mean, just think about fake news. How do we weather what the media is feeding us and social media? How do we weather this? How do we see truth in the midst of all of this chaos? Well, let's just read the whole passage that we're going to talk about today, and it's going to start in verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. So if you want to pull out your Bible, you can. Otherwise, I'll have it on the screen. Starting in verse 11. And he, that's Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here's our first so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's a key part in here. The underlined verse there. Each part working properly. I am convinced, based on what I see in this book, which is not relative truth as the world tries to tell us, this is absolute, this is God's expression. I am convinced that this is God's plan A for human thriving. There's nothing else that compares to it. He gave apostles, prophets, shepherds, evangelists, teachers. He, Jesus, loves his church. He loves his bride. He's crazy about his bride. You see from start to finish in this book just how much God cares for his people. He's crazy about her. That's what he calls the church, his bride. Like a husband is crazy about his wife. That's how Jesus is about the church. And he gave gifts of leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry. But that gift of those leaders to equip the saints, that doesn't terminate on itself. That's not where the end-all be-all of ministry is in the church, happening on the stage in front of people with, you know, we've got four pastors. It doesn't stop there. The role of the leader in the church, the gift of the leader in the church to the church, is to equip the church to produce something.
to accomplish a specific work. I think to understand that work, we've got to jump back a chapter in Ephesians where Paul introduces the topic of that work. We're going to go to Ephesians 3, starting in verse 7. I'm going to kind of go through some verses pretty quickly today. It's a lot to take in, but we've got a lot to do. Ephesians 3, starting verse 7. And this is the work that we're supposed to be accomplishing as the church. And Paul gives us hints of it here. He says, of this gospel, the gospel that is the news, the event of Jesus taking our sin on himself, taking the wrath of God on himself and going to a cross and dying, defeating death and being raised from the dead in real time, in real space, in real history and living today. That's the gospel. And the good news of that is that we're invited through that action to have access, reconciliation to God, though we don't deserve it. That's the gospel. Of that news, Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Next verse, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, and again, so that through the church, that's us, through us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Notice that he's not saying that through the angels, the manifold wisdom of God. That's the glorious message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news, the glory of Jesus made known. Well, it seems like, to our human logic, the heavenly places would be the right places to proclaim that truth instead of messed up people like us. But it says through the church, that's going to then be made known to even heavenly places. Whoa. You ever stop to think about that? The angels are learning something about God's manifold wisdom through us? Just seems backwards. That hit me this week. Fresh. I never thought about that before. Wow. Oh my goodness. The riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ being made known even to the angels through the church. It reminds me a little bit of our mission statement. We're supposed to make disciples of Jesus by the grace of God. This is why we exist as Summit View Church. And Paul just basically said that. That's what the purpose of the church is. We're going to make disciples of Jesus. People who see the just amazing riches of Jesus Christ and want to follow. That's what a disciple is. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by the grace of God. Well, Paul just said, you know what? He says, this grace was given me by the working of God's power. It's by the grace of God. Remember, so here's our mission statement. How are we going to do this? What's our methodology? What's the empowerment of this? Well, it's by the grace of God. So he says, this grace was given me by the working of God's power, okay? And then he says, though I am the very least of all the saints. It's so funny in the Greek when you look at the very least. He takes this Greek word, he makes it comparative. So he takes the word little, basically, and makes it comparative, so it's sort of like least or leaster. I'm leaster than, littler than, something like that. And the word Paul, actually, if you look at the Latin root for the name Paul, and he may be playing off that here, actually means small, little. So if you really read into this, you could say small Paul, leaster than everybody else, unqualified. He's playing off of his name. He's making a statement here. He says, I don't deserve to do this, that through me the manifold wisdom of God be made known in heavenly realms. I just want to ask you, when you approach this concept of somehow being the conduit to display God to the world, think of the person in your life that's the most unlikely to be reached. Do you think you could be the conduit that makes that happen? Do you feel unqualified? So Paul is saying here, I'm small, I'm the least of these, I'm not qualified, but this grace was given to me by the working of God's power. It qualified me, though I don't have the natural ability to get this done. the unsearchable riches of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God can be displayed through me. And so God gave the church leaders to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And I just wanted to say that each one of us saints has been uniquely wired by the Spirit of God to do that work of ministry. And it's in a unique way, every single one of us imaging our Creator in some way. Here's the text for it. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each, that's each, to each. So to you, Jeff, Angie, Zeke. Just pick people out, Sebastian. Garrett, point at people in the back row. Eric, Amy. There's another Garrett right here. Paul, Toby. To each, let's make it personal, to you, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. My job, vocational ministry pastor, is to help you see what that gift is and help you unleash it and just organize. Maybe exhort. Maybe sometimes come alongside and just elbow a little bit and push. That has to happen sometimes with us. Honestly, the Christian culture in America gets this completely backwards. They come to church, to a building, on one day for 75 to 90 minutes, and they think, oh, there's a guy on stage doing the work of ministry. And they look at some of you church and they say, oh, there's four ministers, Travis and Aaron and John and Perry. It's backwards. We don't have four ministers here. We have hundreds. All I'm supposed to do is equip you to do that work of ministry. And I've been very, very convicted by that this week as I've studied this text, because I'm not sure that I've truly lived up to that role. And I'd like to do better. And so if you guys have specific feedback for me on how I can help with that and do better in that, I'd love to receive that. Please be nice about it. Constructive criticism is always better than nastiness. But I want to be open to that, because I'm just a guy. John's just a guy. Aaron's just a guy. Perry's just a guy. We believe that God has created this office of leader to equip the saints for the work of ministry, but we're not going to do it perfectly. And one of the reasons I'm standing up right here right now is because I feel right now very, very strongly, as we kick off a whole season of missions and we kick off another season of our church, really is what this amounts to, in the midst of a global pandemic, global crisis, and maybe one of the most significant opportunities in the lifetime of this church and in each one of our lifetimes right now. I think we've got to get this right. How does this work? We know all about churches all around us that are just, you know, consumeristic. We talk about that. We don't like that. Where you just walk in and consume and then you leave. I want us to walk out of here and change that. To go make disciples, to maybe think, I don't need a pastor to come alongside me to make this happen. I don't need a church building. I don't need an official program. What a thrill it is to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe, depending on your wiring and your gifting, your specific manifestation of the Spirit, maybe it's inviting your neighbors over to pray in your house once a week and expect that God's going to show up and work supernaturally via the manifestation of His Spirit through you. A lot of conversation around spiritual gifts this week with people, as I've been processing through this and bouncing it off of people. I don't really want to go into spiritual gifts today. I would like to think a little bit broader than that. Spiritual gifts are something that God has given us, though. And you can go look in various passages in the Bible to find lists of those things and maybe some explanations and things like that. But just on a top level, when we start getting obsessed about those, and I'm not saying don't go study that. We need to study that. We need to kind of understand how we're shaped, what God has done for us, with us in that. Just tweak it just a little bit. Make sure that your eyes aren't focused on self and understanding self so much that you forget that this spiritual gift is given to you for the benefit of the common good.
It's for the church, not you. So don't obsess about what you're getting from it or how you're shaped in it. But we do need to take these words literally. Don't just attend and consume on a Sunday morning. Don't come and just complain about the music and the volume and the teaching and kids' ministry and the temperature of the coffee or the flavor of it or the comfort of the pews, because that's not what it's about. That just betrays a heart that's misunderstanding the purpose of the church. Do you believe that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to you? It reminds me of Genesis 12, where this guy, Abram, is called out of Ur, just randomly out of the blue, and God says, go, I've prepared a land for you, and I'm going to bless you. And the reason for that blessing is I'm going to, through you, bless all of the nations. I'm going to give you myself, God says, so that myself can then flow through you to everyone else. That's what this is. Do you believe that? That could be you, that conduit? That there's our second why. That through the manifestation of the Spirit, you can bless. You can bless. And I just want to ask us, do we believe that we can do this? And are we available to be that conduit? If the majority of your spiritual life is just this room for a few minutes on a Sunday morning, it's not going to happen. That's like being on a football team and you're on the field and you're just running drills and you never play a game. Come in here and run your drills and leave. What's the point? Or band rehearsing, never playing a gig in front of people. Our youth band's going to play in a few weeks and lead us, and you can bet they'll be practicing like crazy. Why? Because they get to play. All these ministers of the gospel go from here, where we've been practicing, and you get to play the game, do the work of ministry. And so today we're asking for more than just money. We're asking you to believe that you have been qualified, though you are small Paul. You've been qualified for ministry by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So what we have in front of us today are these pledge cards. So you go ahead and you can look at those. There's another sheet there that you'll find. It looks like this. Pull that out. These are starting ideas. So what we're going to do today, you'll notice on your pledge card, there's a section for your financial gift. I don't want to downplay that. We are hoping to raise $50,000 today from this room. And I think that's achievable. But more than that, a higher priority than that. And for those of you that don't plan on giving financially, or maybe don't have the means to do that, that's great. That's wonderful. We're expecting this contribution financially to be something above and beyond what normally we would be giving. So if that's not you right now, that's okay. But I am asking for everyone to fill out that second part of the pledge card. So the first part is going to say my financial commitment. The second part is my personal commitment. And these are just starting ideas for what those personal commitments could be. You'll see some of them are just very practical. I wanted to put some just practical handles on this. This is not a comprehensive list by any means, but God has built us. Each one of us designed us, gifted us to image Him in some sort of way to the world. And these are a bunch of different ideas. And that God's blessing, remember our second why, is going to flow through your action as you take this personal commitment. So you can just browse through that. I'm going to keep going here, though. Back to this slide. Remember, I want to talk about resilience, and we had this resilience that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Have you ever considered that God's plan A for human thriving, of the church coming together and every member doing their part, gifted by the Holy Spirit, contributing, being available to do that, the manifold wisdom of God being made known through the church, meaning God becomes visible through our actions, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit lived out in each one of us for the common good. Have you ever considered that is God's plan A for human thriving? Meaning that if we're struggling with anxiety and depression and we're scared and we're divided, maybe it's because we're not, each of us, doing our part in this ministry, and we don't have the first "so that." If you do your part, if the church is the church so that, then this will happen. And maybe if we were doing our part, we wouldn't be as susceptible to the controversies and the conspiracies and the division and the tension and the mental health stuff and everything else that our society is currently wrestling with. That God's plan for us to thrive in that isn't just get away on a vacation, isn't just get a new iPad, isn't just get that great meal or get into that great relationship. Maybe his plan A for thriving is the church and our involvement in it and blessing us so that we can be a blessing to others. It's this bit. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. And notice that this is, as we're growing up into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together, so this energy coming from Christ, from him into this body that's held together, joined by all of us. We're all those joints. And that Christ energy equipping us, you're equipped by the leaders. You listen to teachings and you listen to exhortation. You go to small group. You know, that's how that works. You're equipped. And then each part works properly. What happens? The body grows and it builds itself up in love. And we have that so that we may no longer be children. We're going to be mature if we do that. We're going to be resilient. The world's attacks on us are going to roll off of us. Water off a duck's back. When each part is working properly, each one of us not craving to hoard God's blessings for us, because it's just going to terminate right there. You're going to stagnate. His blessings actually won't be as full until you start giving them away. And you just watch them flood into your life as you're a conduit, and you get more and more and more filled and more full of joy and strength and resilience, and you bless others with that. But there's our last why. I want to mention that before we go into our next section here. And that why is so that the world will believe. Jesus prayed this as his last prayer, his last big action before he went to the cross. Instead of praying to his Father that his disciples would get all of their theology right, their methodology right, their perfection, etc., he said, "I pray that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Look at the picture that is with Jesus and his Father, the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. What is that? Well, it's a body together, each one doing its part, building the other part up in love. That's what we are imaging, that oneness. That's what this little group of people is supposed to be doing. Imagine if Jesus didn't have the time to show up to do that. What would happen? It's ridiculous to even consider, because we know how good it is that Jesus and the Father are building each other up in love. Why would we consider withdrawing and not doing the same thing? He says, "I pray that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." There's a "so that." I underlined it. If that happens, church, through the church, the world may believe. The world looks at the church and sees the oneness, the unity, the love, the blessing to bless others, the availability that we have for each other. And they go, "Oh, something different is going on here." And they may believe. They see God through that action. Why would we withhold that from them by not being available? "The glory that you have given me, I have given
to them, you're full of glory, that they may be one as even we are one, I in them. That's Jesus in you. The divine in you, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, supernatural energy in you, motivating you, changing you, possessing you to do things you would never be able to do in your small, unqualified, apart from God status. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Our third why of why we would do this is so the world may know God, so the world may come to see God and believe him, as through the church the manifold wisdom of God is made known to rulers, authorities, and heavenly realms. What a glorious task we have been called into as ministers. Isn't it cool? You get it? Or do you feel like kind of dead inside? I'm sorry if you do, you're not getting it. This should be one of the most thrilling, exciting things you could ever have encountered. That the glory of God would dwell in you and be seen by the world. Probably getting the sense this isn't just going to happen in 75 minutes on a Sunday morning, and I'm sorry, today we're going to go longer. It's going to take time and energy and maybe even evaluating your lifestyle and changing bits and pieces of it. How we spend our time and resources. Maybe you're here, though, before we go ahead and start filling this stuff out. Maybe you're here, though, and you're thinking, I don't have the energy for this. You don't understand, Travis. I'm coming in here just completely beat up after this really hard season. And for you, you know what? I just say, just go ahead and take a break. Just sit here and breathe amongst the body. Immerse yourself in the body, in the community, and be healed, because we exist for that too. And once that happens, you start feeling that energy come back in, lean in, and then consider. It's Mother's Day. Maybe you're a mom and you got three little kids, and you're thinking, what could I bring? I don't have availability. What are you talking about, Travis? It's easy for you to say. I'm just going to point out, if you got three little kids, you got three little souls right there. So that the world may believe, well, they're part of that. You are doing a work. You're right in the midst of it. Write that down. You don't need to write down anything else. Maybe you will, but that's it. It's so good. But if you've been here, you know, 8-10 years, and you're just here, you pop in every so often, and you're about 15 minutes late normally, because church isn't all that exciting, and music's too loud, or, you know, whatever. I just invite you to lean in. Think of yourself as a minister and lean in on what could this actually maybe mean for me. And maybe you were doing that, some stuff happened, kind of got beat up a little bit. That's okay. I just invite you. You know, this conduit thing, this blessing, it's real. You start blessing others, God's going to just fill you right up. Don't withdraw. That's not God's plan A for our thriving. So I had to fit all that in because I feel like we need to be motivated rightly, and so we're going to go a little bit over. That's okay. Children's ministry started a little late today anyway, so hopefully they'll be okay back then, back there. Last thing I say before we fill these out, I just want to say there's not just four ministers in this church. There are hundreds. And just maybe this is a fourth why. I don't know. It's motivating for me to ask you guys to step in, because there are needs that you can see that I can't see. There are people suffering that you can come alongside that I can't come alongside. There are hands that only you can hold. You're going to go from here to places that I won't go, to neighborhoods that I don't live, that John doesn't live in, that Aaron doesn't live in, that Perry doesn't live in. And you're going to meet people that I will never meet. And so there's some people in this world that will only hear about Jesus Christ, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and the manifold wisdom of God, and that's only going to be revealed through you because you are the minister in proximity to them, and God's plan A is for them to see God through you and come to believe. I can't do that for you. Imagine how the heart of God could be seen by the world around us if we were doing this, so that the world may know. All right. I'm going to cue up some instrumental music. We're going to take a few minutes here as we close out. And there's pens in front of you. I'm just going to give us some space. Think through, how are we going to get to the $50,000? What's your contribution there? But more than that, maybe the idea sheet sparks something, maybe something I've said sparks something in you. Make a personal commitment. We won't have a response song today. In a few minutes, I'll get our attention back up here. We'll take communion real quick together as a body and we'll go. You'll notice that the pledge sheet has two parts to it. We're asking that you fill it out doubly. One part that has your address on the front, your contact information at least. That's to give to us so we know what your financial contribution is and your personal commitment. And as leaders, we can help do this role that's found in Ephesians 4 and equip you to fulfill that commitment and your small group leaders as well. The other half of it is for you to take home. Put it on your fridge. Put it as a bookmark in your Bible. Do something so it's a constant reminder. This is what I've committed to do. Missions Campaign 2021. Let's cue up that music. Let's just go for a little bit. Okay. I share with you what I wrote down. My personal commitment: loving my wife and kids well. Because this is the task that is most likely to be neglected in my life due to the nature of my ministry vocation. That's what I wrote down as my personal contribution, because I think that of all the things I could do as a pastor, that's probably the number one thing that's going to ultimately bless this church the most. From me personally, there's a lot of things I bring vocationally that are I could write down. But that's what I wrote down. If you're struggling to come up with something, there are a few practicals, just opportunities for service. One of those is actually coming up this weekend. We were talking with deacons, and one of the deacons' dreams is to set up a regular serve day to serve people in the church who have kind of ongoing needs. And so what we decided to do is the first Saturday of every even month, that would be June, August, etc., to meet at the church building at 8 o'clock that morning and just go from 8 till noon and kind of spread out to the various places where we need service and handyman type stuff, yard cleaning, things like that. It's a tangible thing. I asked the deacons if we could do it out of order for the very first one, you know, just because who needs order? You need order. So it will be the first Saturday of the even months, but we're going to do the first one instead of that first Saturday in June, the even month. We're going to do it in an odd month on an odd day, and we're going to do it this upcoming Saturday, just out of proximity to this moment. It's a great thing for a whole small group to come to. A lot of people who need and need a lot of assistance, and it's a great practical, tangible way to be the body of Christ. So if you're struggling, that's one great thing you could just write down. Show up here in the parking lot at 8 o'clock in the morning this upcoming Saturday. And then the next one will be that first Saturday in August, which is August 7th. What we're going to do now is we're going to enter in and take communion. And if you're wondering maybe what all this stuff is all about, if you haven't accepted Christ, just letting you know, taking communion is something for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, made Him their Lord, said this is going to determine my actions from here on out. I'm serving God. And so if you're in that category and you haven't believed yet, I'd ask you to abstain from this. But if you are wondering, how do I get this Holy Spirit? What is this thing? Well, you know, there's a word there, and the Holy Spirit is holy, and that means set apart. God is perfect. And the fact is, we are not. And in order to be reconciled to God, to have access to Him, Jesus Christ had come into the world as a human being, and He took all of our wrongdoing, our sin, on Himself, and He accepted the wrath of God and all of the separation that was due us because of our actions. He accepted that and took it to His death on the cross. And supernaturally, He was raised by the power of the Spirit to life. That same Spirit that, because of that death and resurrection, now gets to reside in you, and the same power that raised that Jesus from the dead can reside in you. But you have to be reconciled to God through the work of Jesus Christ first. And so when He went to the cross, His body was broken and His blood was shed. And can somebody get me actually one of the communion cups? I don't have one of those up here. You can toss it up to me. Thanks, Belle. Appreciate that. We're going to do this together as a body, because this is a together experience. Through the unity of the church, we have resilience against the world. Through the unity of the church, we have become a blessing that can bless others. Through the unity of the church, the world will see God. And it's all rooted in this action that Jesus took on a cross for us. And so together, we can get these things apart. Go ahead and take the bread on the top, and let's take that together. Body broken for you. We're doing this to remember what He did for us, to thank Him what He did for us. And then we take the cup, His blood poured out to purify us from our sins, our unrighteousness. Take and drink. God, thanks for our family meeting today. Thank You that You've given each one of us a manifestation of Your Holy Spirit. For those of us that might be a new concept, I pray that You would just lean into us. Like I've been praying all week, poke at us, convict us. For those who have been sitting back, maybe just consuming church and assuming there's just four ministers in this place, keep poking. Convict, Holy Spirit. I pray that none of us would hold back. We wouldn't shrink back. We would be faithful, available, and teachable. And that we would go from here and understand that we are ministers. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known. There's no other way. That's Your plan A. There is no plan B. Even the angels themselves are going to learn about Your manifold wisdom and the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ through us. Help that to sink in today, God, as we go from here. Thank You for that glory coming to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. Thank You for inviting us into that and reconciling us to Yourself. Jesus, we just thank You so much. Amen. I will apologize for going long today. You have your commitment card, the one side that has your address on it again, that's going to go in a basket as you exit. The other side, take home. Make sure you don't lose it. Keep it in your mind. Remember it. And then just one more thing on Happy Mother's Day. Remember, there's a photo booth in the gym. Go have fun. Take some pictures. And as we go from here, remember, some of you church doesn't have four ministers. There are hundreds. Amen.